What if everything you have deemed as impossible really was possible? What have you known and believed was possible your whole life? You just didn't know how to actualize it. Come and discover a world of infinite possibilities on Outside the Impossible with Venus Castleberg. On this show, we will share pragmatic tools to create the life and living you truly desire. And now, your host, Venus Castleberg.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm here with Marilyn Bradford, and I'm super excited about my guest. I know Marilyn from Access Consciousness, obviously, and one of the things that's really always inspired me about you, Marilyn, has been your constant questions and interest in knowing and exploring more possibilities. So thank you for being here. It's great to have you on the show.
And I'm glad to be here. Excellent.
Cool. So just start with the basics. Like, how did you discover Access Consciousness?
I had a friend who was doing it. This was 13 years ago, something like that. Can that be right? Yes, 14 years ago. And she let me listen to some tapes. And I was like, I've got to go see Gary. And she said, well, you haven't even had bars, and the next class is 3 months away. And then she said, oh, wait a minute, he's doing a new thing. There's a body class in California, and that was the first body class. She said, there are no prerequisites, so you can go. So I went, and that's how I started, and I never looked back.
That's awesome. Well, I know you have a little bit of history, like you're a therapist, a teacher, speaker. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. This is an odd place to start, but I was diagnosed as an alcoholic in 31 years ago. Oh my gosh. Time is such a strange thing. And that's an odd thing to start with, but what it did is it really started me on this sort of second life. I went into traditional treatment, and even though I thought it was a bit weird, I did that for quite a while, and I went into therapy, and it was my therapist who said, Marilyn, I know you're interested in looking for a new life, starting something different. I was going to get out of my marriage. I'd been a high school teacher. I said, I am. He said, I think you should be a therapist. And I was like, really? Me? So I did. I went back to graduate school and with a specialty in addiction, although you can't really do things with addiction without doing everything else because it's always associated with depression and sometimes bipolar and all, you know, everything else pretty much. So I did that and I worked at a psych hospital then, had a private practice, and all the while I was doing that, I was looking at, you know, there's got to be something different. This is way too shut down, way too making people wrong. So I just kept asking questions. Questions seemed to be kind of my natural way of being. And that dovetailed with starting Access Consciousness, which I did not to help with my therapy or not as anything, except that, wow, this is really a cool thing. Because it's empowering people to know that you know, and that's what I always desired to do as a therapist, is to empower people with tools, so not so that they would stay with me forever, but so they would leave with this great toolbox and could create their lives. And I started using the Access tools with my psychotherapy clients, and they were getting better faster, lots faster. I was like, wow, there's something to this. So then I approached Gary Douglas, the founder of Access, and said, hey, can we do something with addiction with the Right Recovery For You tools? He's like, absolutely. And that's how Right Recovery For You was born. And then over the years, it's really expanded its ideas about addiction and recovery and mental health, expanded more tools, Gary's and others too, Sensing Dane and Simone have been wonderful in contributing to this. So now I have a few clients left from my psychotherapy business, but mostly I do my access business, and I do a lot with Right Recovery for You. In fact, I even have a book club going right now. So I can't go to any in-person classes, but I love to do that too. So that's a very quick synopsis of how I got where I am.
Awesome. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Right Recovery for You? What is that?
Wow, that's a big, 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 big question. What I can say is it's a very radical and different way of looking at and being with any addiction and recovery issues. Because the whole time, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with traditional treatment or the 12-step, but I personally found it very limiting, and I met a lot of people both through the program, that was a long time ago, but still, both through the program and in my practice who also found it limiting and wanted a different possibility. So it's radical in the sense that it says things like, you're not once an addict, always an addict is not true. You can completely recover from any addictive or compulsive behavior if you're willing to use some new tools and get some new information. So I like to, once again, it's all about empowering people to know that they know, getting them out of this sense of powerlessness, getting them out of this sense of wrongness of them. In fact, one of my very interesting discoveries, after I'd been doing Right Recovery for a couple of years, was that most of the things that we think of as addictions, like alcohol and drugs and sex and relationship and gambling, are actually what I call secondary addictions. The primary addiction that I found that underlies essentially every other secondary addiction is an addiction to judgment and the wrongness of self. And that's one of the reasons people relapse. Because if you are not drinking or you're not doing whatever it is, and I want to talk a little bit more when we get to it about an expanded version of what addiction actually is, but if you stop drinking and you're just stuck in this thing of having to do a program over and over and over and over and over and over and over again for the rest of your life, and you stop that program, you're going to go back to drinking. You're going to do what they call relapse. And they would say, well, it's because you stopped the program. I would say, no, it's because you never treated the underlying primary addiction to judgment and the wrongness of self. So that's a little bit about Right Recovery, a little bit.
Awesome. I'd love for you to, if you wouldn't mind, go into the expanded version of addiction a little bit.
Well, what I began to understand about addiction was that it's not about the target. As I said, we often think the target is something like alcohol and drugs or sex and relationship. It's about a choice that a person makes to become not present. It's a default position, energetic position of not being present and not existing for a while. Often because people feel overwhelmed or they don't know how to handle things because they don't have good tools. But the bottom line is that people can be addicted to anything. They can be addicted to being perfect, to health. You know, the people who are jogging 16 times a day and only eat green things and all of that, they can be addicted. You probably all know people who've been addicted to trauma drama. Nothing can go by that's not oh my goodness, oh, it's so terrible. Or people who are addicted to judging others or to anger. I was working with someone yesterday who was talking about their whole family was addicted to anger. Anything happened, you dropped the salt shaker, people got furious. So you can be addicted to being less than everyone else. So it's not about the target, the behavior, or the substance. It's about that place that people go to default to not be present and not be themselves. And I think with that much more expanded view, you can see that looking at your own behavior, excuse me, or even looking at the behavior of those around you, your friends, your family, your partner, partner, you can get a sense of where people take off, where they become not themselves, by checking out and checking into some behavior or substance.
And what are some of the...
Does that make sense?
Maybe, yeah, it does. It's great. Thank you. But I'm wondering too, like, what are some of the reasons that maybe we would check out or...
Oh my gosh, there are lots of those. And mostly for people, it starts in childhood. It starts when people say something like, hey, you know, I don't think our next door neighbor is a really good guy. What do you mean? He's perfectly nice. Or, well, I don't know how I got the answer. I just know that's correct. Well, you must have cheated. We get this devaluation of our beings, this devaluation of what we know to be true, and we start cutting ourselves off and seeing this world as a completely insane place where we have no power because we have not been taught to trust ourselves. We've not been taught that it's okay to know what you know, even if everybody around you is saying, no, you're crazy, that can't be true. So it starts very early on, and people become more and more and more alienated in the world. And that's, once again, this is kind of a very simplified, generalized kind of thing. But, you know, we don't have time to go into great detail here. So it starts with an alienation of self brought on by the denial of the being from family, from culture, from religion, from school. And, you know, a lot of people, they're born into a family. It's like, well, you're a Smith, or you're an Albertina, you know, or you're a Khan, or you're a this, or you're a that. And if you go, no, actually, you know, I don't desire to be that, or this religion doesn't really work for me, or I don't think that family is necessarily the best thing in the whole world, or I'd really rather not do football, I'd rather play the violin, or I'd really rather play football and not the violin. So it becomes this cutting off of self. At the same time, we're buying into the paradigms of our family, of our cultural situation, so that further alienates the self. And at some point, people are just like, I don't know how to deal with this. And they'll look for some way or something that they can go to just not exist, because the pain of the self being denied and eventually we become our own self-deniers becomes huge, and it's just too friggin' painful.
What are some ways that maybe you would help somebody get themselves back from that?
Well, this is going to be odd, but that's almost too general a question to address. If there's anything specific, or
well, if you know, like, if somebody knows that they you know, stopped being themselves as a child, and now they're trying to escape that through whatever addiction they have, what are some tools or practices that you have them, like, work on getting themselves back?
Well, one of them is for people to ask themselves, what's true for you? Like, in any situation. So I'll tell someone, okay, let's go with your mother. You say every time you go home, you lose yourself. So I'd like you to do something, which is just to ask yourself the next time you're with her and she treats you like a 4-year-old or a 7-year-old, what's true for me in this situation? So, and most people have a hard time beginning to know what's true for them. So they have to just keep asking themselves and asking themselves and asking themselves, what's true for me? And also you can ask yourself, what is this person's agenda? Or what is their paradigm that they're asking me to buy into?
People have agendas?
Everybody has an agenda.
What?
Everybody has an agenda, pretty much.
Right. So what are some ways that maybe let awareness then, okay, you see that, you're like, okay, I can see what's something that's true for me. I can start to see this person has an agenda. Then what?
Well, if you can find your mother's agenda, maybe her agenda is to make you wrong, or her agenda is still to make you fit into the Italian or Arabic or Jewish or whatever culture, then you begin to have choice, because it all comes down to awareness. If you're not aware of the agenda, you'll just feel the pull, but you won't actually understand why you're being pulled or what's going on. And it becomes very confusing. That's a funny word. So once you begin to see what their agenda is, it's much easier to choose what's going to create greater for you in this particular situation. Do you want to go ahead and pretend to conform? And there's nothing wrong with pretending, in order to just keep the peace over the holidays? Or does it really work for you to say, you know what, that doesn't work for me. Sorry, Mom, I'm not going to be doing that. I know it upsets you, but you know what? It's my life. So then you have choice. Once you're willing to acknowledge and see what other people's agendas are, then you have choice.
Wow. Well, I think we actually just opened up even what our topic is today, but we're about to take a short break, so I'm not going to start quite yet. We'll dive in more about having all of you in your relationships on the other side. Thank you for listening.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others, and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm here with Marilyn Bradford, and we are just now really starting to dive into having all of you in your relationships. And thank you for that nice little breeze in right before the break. So, Marilyn, can you talk a little bit about maybe even just what that might mean? I mean, that seems like probably a foreign concept to many people on the planet. Having all of you in relationships, is that possible?
Absolutely. It's not only possible, I think it's a wonderful target. And so what confuses people is that they have a lot of paradigms that they believe in. And I was just searching for my book, because we were just talking about this on my book club yesterday. that prevent them from actually being them in relationships. So, paradigms. I'm just going to read a little bit, if that's okay.
Yeah,
because
please.
Because it says
that's
it
great.
Better than I can do spontaneously. We all operate from paradigms in our lives. A paradigm is a set of assumptions, concepts, values, and practices that constitute one's view of reality. It shapes the way a person sees the world. For example, all religions are paradigms. The standard model of physics is a paradigm. Western medicine is a paradigm. And there are traditional paradigms for addiction treatment in our society. Most of us believe that we operate from a place of being open-minded, and that can be true, at least to some extent. We are open-minded, we want to know the truth, but we're willing to look at the facts and consider other points of view. But sometimes there are places we simply will not go. There are ideas or possibilities we won't consider because we've bought into a paradigm that doesn't allow for the evidence of that concept. In the ancient world, people believed the earth was shaped like a plane or disk. Everyone bought into the paradigm that the world was flat. They thought, well, of course I'm open to new ideas, but I would never try to sail around the world because the world is flat, and everyone knows that, and we would fall off the edge if we did that. So because of their belief system or their paradigm that the world is flat, they can't accept that idea. And this is so true in relationships. Some of the biggest paradigms that people buy into are, I'm here to help others. Family is the most important thing there is, and I need to sacrifice myself to that concept. If I'm me, I'm being selfish. Or if I stand up for myself, I'm just going to create conflict, and conflict is not okay. So we're operating out of all of these paradigms that actually prevent people from being them in their relationships. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. And so if somebody notices that they have some sort of paradigm like that, how would they change it?
Well, the first thing to do is to notice it, as I was talking about the agendas. Oh, I have a belief system that I'm on this earth to put everybody else ahead of me. So one of the biggest tools, and of course you know this, and access is question. So you can begin by asking questions. Is that actually true? What would it be like if that wasn't what I was on the earth for? What's actually true for me here? And it's not an easy thing to do because paradigms and agendas make us comfortable. They put us on automatic pilot. It's like, oh, I know what to do here. Here's a situation where Becky wants me to come out in the middle of the night and hold her hand while she does yet another trauma drama about how her boyfriend dumped her. But I have to do it because I have to put Becky first. Wait a minute. This is the fifth time she's called me in the middle of the night. What is this actually creating? And that's a really great question to ask. What is this actually creating? Does this work for me? Or is this just her paradigm? And once you really get that people operate from paradigms, you can begin to understand, both yourself and others, that you don't need to buy into them. And that's the biggest thing there is. Not buying into your paradigms, not buying into other people's paradigms. And see, every time you're in a paradigm, it takes you out of being present. And I had a conversation with someone right before we were all homebound. And she's a young person. And I was saying something, and she said, well, Trump is great. Now, I'm not going to say whether he is or isn't, but after she said a few sentences that just sounded like she was parroting things, I said, have you ever question any of your belief systems? And she was quiet for a while, and she said, well, no. And so that started another conversation. But that automatic pilot of what you have to do, what you believe in, what people should believe in. See, all truth is relative, pretty much. So someone says, well, that's true. It's true that whatever it is, that the world is flat. That all of a sudden I'm drawing a blank. that the government's going to go down the tubes, that we're all that life is hopeless. It's true that only God can help us. It's true that my God or your God or whomever's, whatever it is, all of those belief systems stop you from actually being aware, being you, and creating your life.
Wow. So if somebody, we're going along, we're like, okay, I can see that I have this paradigm. It's creating, I can make a different choice. You said a couple of things that I was like, okay. So if somebody has an agenda and you know they have an agenda and you said you can pretend and go along with it. And I was like, okay. But then maybe this is a paradigm as well. A lot of people say, well, you should speak your truth, your whole truth, right? You should tell your truth. How does...
No. I'll tell
awesome. A funny Please
story.
Say more.
Yeah, and this was ages ago. I'd only been a therapist. This was in the, I can't even think, early 90s, I think. But I had a client who had gotten into a lot of trouble because she'd been driving her car in a not great neighborhood, and the police stopped her for something, maybe a broken taillight or whatever. And they came up to her and they said, you need to get out of the car, please. You know, would you get out of the car, please? And I don't know if they said please or not. I can't remember the story, but I mean, what she told me at the time. But she said, no, I know my rights. You can't, my rights are, and this is the truth. Well, guess what? She ended up in jail. That's not a time to speak your truth. What you say is, yes, sir, may I reach into the glove compartment and get my insurance and license? So that's one obvious example. But what you the question is not about speaking your truth, because your truth is as arbitrary, generally speaking, as somebody else's truth. The question is, what can I be and do or say that's going to create greater here? So suppose you're going to your sister's wedding and your family's really toxic. And you know that Uncle Harry, who abused you when you were a child, is going to be there. Or you know that your father's going to be judgmental and tell you that you look fat or whatever it is. See, what we tend to do is to go either or. Either I have to sit there and suffer these insults or I'm going to speak my truth. No. What you can do is say, what can I be and do this in this situation? Excuse me. Let me have a sip of water. What can I be or do in this situation that's going to create greater? So let's say you go to the wedding and your dad says, well, you just look like you gained 5 more pounds. Thanks, Dad. I'll keep that under advisement. Or the neighbor sidles up to you and says, how are you doing? You can say very loudly, I'm doing really well. How's your wife? You know, the point is you don't have to directly confront, because that, generally speaking, doesn't create anything. It's like, okay, I'm going to get through, not just get through this, but I'm going to be present here. There's no real point in ruining my sister's wedding with my speaking my truth. I'm just going to be pleasant here. I'm not going to acquiesce to being less than or buying into their ideas. I'm just going to say or do whatever it is that gets me through it and still be me. Because the thing we go into, I have to speak my truth, is this whole resistance and reaction that we have to prove that the other person is wrong. What if you didn't have to prove that anybody was wrong? What if you can know they're wrong? This guy's an idiot. Oh, my dad's got an agenda of judging me. My dad's paradigm is if I judge everyone, that's what I'm supposed to be doing as a man. You know, it's like, he's just a stupid idiot. So what? If you go into having to speak your truth, basically what you're doing is you're making him and his judgments greater than you so that you have to jump up and defend yourself. What if you just saw him as a gnat flitting around being obnoxious? Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's awesome.
I'm very irreverent. You know, we used to do the show, The Irreverent Therapist.
That's why. And I forgot to announce this in the last break. If there's anybody out there that has any questions, would like to talk to Marilyn about relationships and being all of you, you can call 202-570-7057 at any time. Awesome. Well, you did say also, like, you said something about being selfish, because I know that that's the other thing too. It's like, okay, I got to speak my truth, or if I'm making choices for myself, I'm being selfish. And that's, if I can take what you've talked about already, that's a paradigm, right?
Yes, absolutely. There's a huge difference between what, let's just say, being selfish, which if you're, I mean, look, Lauren, let me back up a little bit. This is an example I use. An infant could be considered selfish because they cry even if mom's only had 2 hours of sleep, or, you know, whoever's doing the caretaking, if dad has a busy meeting going on. They're crying like, I need attention right now. We don't consider them selfish. We consider that they have not been taught to be unselfish. But actually what they're doing is they're creating their life by what they require at that time. There's a big difference between being selfish and being narcissistic and greedy and having to have, as an adult, the world revolve around you. If we look at it from the point of view of, if a person, see, the greatest gift that you have is the gift of you. If you're not empowering that gift, you don't have anything to give the world. If you're just running around being there for somebody at 6 o'clock in the morning because they're doing their 18th trauma drama, or for a family member who's always abusive and you put yourself down, you're not actually being anything in the world but a punching bag. If you're being you and you take the time and the energy to create your life, you can actually create something that's a contribution. I mean, people could say that Picasso was selfish, or any other, Martin Luther King, because he had his ideas no matter what you thought, you know, or any of the great inventors or great people in our lives, in the world's lives, could be considered selfish. Well, the Beatles were selfish because I went up for an autograph and they didn't have time. They wouldn't let me in. He just thinks of him. Look at the music they contributed. Mostly when someone accuses you of being selfish, what they really mean is you're not doing what I would like you to do for me at this particular time. Hmm. And that happens in families all the time.
Right. Well, and now you just opened a whole new can of worms. Family.
Good.
Awesome. So obviously the kind of the general consensus here is like, I mean, I know most people are like, well, if I have a friend that's not very nice to me, or, you know, considers me selfish or whatever, usually you let go of that friend. But I know a lot of people out there that believe, well, but it's family.
Yeah, and what does that mean, Venus? What does well and family mean?
Well, I know the acronym, but I don't think we're going to do that one here. Well, I know that a lot of people talk about there's something tied with it being blood. If you're blood related, then somehow you owe them your life.
Okay, do you see the insanity of that paradigm?
Oh, I do. I'm talking for other people.
People, okay. Your body, they gave you your body. Mm-hmm. And it had some characteristics, some DNA and all of that. But that's it. Your being is not your body. Mm. And if they're being abusive, why would you bother? That's my point of view. Now, everybody has to come to it on their own, but it's family. Can be a very toxic paradigm, and it's one where people will give themselves up and allow themselves to be abused for no good reason. I once, long time ago, once again, worked with a family, and they happened to be traditionally Italian. Now, it could be anything else. I'm certainly not, you know, saying it's because they're Italian. They could have been Southern or Jewish or, I don't know, Australian or French or whatever. But they happened to be traditionally Italian, where family was everything. So the husband's father had literally kicked him up and down the stairs as a child. And he abused the wife and daughter to the extent that they couldn't go out. He had the car keys, and they couldn't go out. They couldn't do anything unless he gave permission. And the whole therapy, because I didn't see the father, maybe I saw him once or twice. I saw the mom quite a bit, and I saw the daughter quite a bit, who eventually extricated herself from the family because it was so abusive. But the rational, see, that becomes a huge rationalization or justification. I can do anything to you I want because we're family. How insane is that? Mm-hmm. I mean, I can treat you, I can be a criminal to you, because we're family, you can't do anything about it. You can't tell me I'm wrong. I'm your father, I'm your mother, or even I'm your daughter. You know, children can be incredibly abusive. There's all kinds of cases of elder abuse and this and that. So it's just an excuse for bad behavior, basically. Now, if you happen to have a loving family, that's awesome. You're yes. really lucky. And yes, cherish it. But with family, almost more than anything, you want to stand back and really take a look at what the family paradigms are, what the dynamics are, what each person's agendas are, and ask yourself, is this actually creating greater for me in the universe? Because the thing is, when you really create greater for you, and once again, the difference between, say, selfish and narcissism, when you really create greater for you, when you set aside the you're supposed to go see your family for 2 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever, and instead work on your research or your thesis or your songwriting, you're working on the gifts that you have to contribute to the world. And that's so much greater than allowing yourself to go into an abusive or even just kind of a nothing situation. So does that help?
Yes, that's great. Well, we will dive into more of that on the other side of this break. If anybody out there has any questions, please call 202-570-7057 and we'll be right back.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Is it time to create a different and greater world? Through research, we can explore paths to new and exciting possibilities. The Hope Foundation for Possibilities and Change is a research-based not-for-profit organization dedicated to exploring, discovering, and creating a different future for all. Your donations make this happen. You can contribute at foundationforpossibilities.com.
Oh. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm here with Marilyn Bradford, and we're talking about having all of you in your relationships. And luckily, we have some callers. So, Joseph, welcome.
Yes.
Thank you for calling in.
Oh, absolutely. Marilyn?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, cool. Hey. Great. Just want to make sure.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hi.
Hey, this has been a great show. Thank you for everything that you're sharing. It's definitely brought up a couple things for me as a parent, and as someone who's been in different relationships. I know that you guys were about ready to get onto family. It's funny, I started thinking about family about 20 minutes ago, thinking like, okay, all the places that I've tried to be, and I'm using my air fingers here, my quote unquote good dad, like the right dad. I'm trying to get things right as a father, especially as a single dad, making sure that I'm any damage done from, my past relationship with my girl's mom. I guess how when you're talking to someone that is going through that and trying not to get things wrong, especially as, my children are now, one's 23 and the other one's just about ready to get out of high school. She's 18. And I mean, that they're both good kids. And I know I can get caught in the whole slave your savior deal. So what advice could you give me or point me in the direction of that would you think would help?
Well, what if you hadn't done anything wrong?
Oh, that can't be right.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sure that isn't.
It can't be that. No, I'm sure that there's. I mean, I've been told I was. See, but the problem is that I was told I was wrong, forever. So.
Of course.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. See, a couple of things. One thing I learned from therapy theory years and years ago that has stuck with me ever since, and it was about moms, but it's certainly about dads too, is that you don't need to be perfect. You don't need to judge everything that you've done. All you need to have been and done is good enough. There's this concept called the good enough mom or the good enough mother. My sense, because you're even asking this question, you've been a good enough dad. Did you make mistakes? Yes. Who didn't? Your kids will make mistakes as parents too. But if you're good enough, and what is that really about? That's about you care. And if you care, your kids know that you care. And that supersedes and overrides any of the technique of parenting that you might have decided that you got wrong. Does that make sense? Yeah. And I'm going to say it again. What if you weren't wrong? What if you were just being you and letting that caring for your kids, that vulnerability, show through?
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Are they good kids?
Oh, they're great kids. In fact, I mean, it's funny. I was getting on my youngest the other day, and I thought about it. I'm like, she's a good kid, gets straight A's, gets a, full ride scholarship to college, doesn't do drugs, I don't have to drag her in off the street at 4 a.m. I mean, she doesn't do anything that I did when I was her age. I'll just put you like that.
Good humanoid.
I'll just tell you, it doesn't do anything that I did. And and the funny thing is that and then I go into like the wrongness of me because I'm being a dick to her on that, and I'm just like, well, wait a second, is that really true? And I'm like, well, I know that for me, and I guess part of it is I see what is it that when I'm getting on someone, it's things that I see that I'm doing that are, You know, if somebody's, if I'm getting pissed off because somebody's late all the time, I really have to look and say, okay, am I late all the time? You know, and is that, and so it's kind of the same thing here with that. But yeah, no, but the girls are great. They're really good kids.
See, you have a lot of self-awareness just to be able to ask those questions. And here, you know, we can't, kids do come in with their own agendas. They actually do. And we can't always, in fact, we can almost never in most ways control the outcomes. But I would ask you to look honestly, barriers down. Is the fact that they're good kids some reflection of the time and energy and space that you put into being a good dad? Truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say yes. Yeah, so if you could please just acknowledge that and get over judging yourself.
What? Give up judgment? Okay, I can do that.
All right, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joseph, for calling in. And we have another guest, Patricia.
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, Patricia. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So enjoyed this show and what you're talking about. And I'm funny you're talking about family because that's what I want to talk about too. And it's about speaking up. You know, when I was young, I really shut myself down. I never did speak up. It was just like, it was just not acceptable. It was, you just
sure,
did what you're
yeah.
supposed to do and be quiet and, right. And so it's, you know, so for me, it's like part of even like stepping up and being who I truly am is about sometimes speaking up. It is about voicing things. And so there's times when it's really, and then sometimes it doesn't always go as well as I want it to go, you know, it's like, and I know sometimes there is some judgment in it. Sometimes I'm really coming from a place of being present and really just trying to voice what I want to express. But, you know, I guess my question for you is sort of like, do you have maybe a little bit more in regards to like when to speak up and when not to, you know, it's like, cause sometimes I know that it really is important for me too, because when I don't, then I start dwelling on it and just make myself wrong for not speaking up. And that doesn't work either, you know? So, I understand my question. I'm not sure. Yeah.
No. It's a good question. It's a very valid question. And here's what I would say. Before you speak up, ask yourself, if I speak up now, what does that create? Or does that create greater? Because there could be some times when you speak up where it's not well received, but it actually creates greater for you because you can say to yourself, you know what? Even though people are mad at me or I wish it had gone another way, I did speak up and I'm proud of myself for doing so. Not out of an arrogance. I don't get you have an ounce of that in your universe, but just out of, I needed to do that for myself. I needed to do that in order to be able to acknowledge that I know there's something different here and I'm not willing to be put down or I'm not willing to be sidelined or whatever it is. So it's not so much about, you know, is it good or bad or the right or wrong time? It's much, much more about what is this going to create for me in the world? And sometimes when we speak up and people get really angry or upset, what we've actually done is put a kind of a wedgie in the world and they're going to have to change. We've made them uncomfortable and that's that's not a bad thing. Maybe they need to be uncomfortable, you know?
Oh, that is so funny that you said that, because I actually had something like that just yesterday. I thought, it actually did occur to me that I was willing to let myself be uncomfortable because I didn't want to make this other person uncomfortable. And I'm going, like, why would I think that it's better for me to be uncomfortable than them, you know? It's like,
yes!
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we'll either be able to work through it or not, but it's like, but being uncomfortable is actually quite often a gift because it makes you look,
yes.
You know, like you said,
yes.
It makes you look at what's going on and even question paradigms or ideas or whatever. And so,
yes, yeah. Absolutely. You know, my second late husband used to say, I came to this world to comfort the disturbed and to disturb the comfortable.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
And I just really like that.
I know. Oh, and that's so funny, too, because it's like, when you said that, I felt like, yeah, and I don't like being the one to disturb the comfortable because it actually makes me uncomfortable, too. So if I'm willing to make someone else uncomfortable, I have to be willing to accept the uncomfort for myself and it not
yes.
necessarily working out the way I want or whatever. So,
you know, I used to yeah. say to my therapy clients, oh, I'm sorry, apps, help. Sorry, I've got my alarm on for something. But I used to say to my clients, become friends with being uncomfortable, and not in a way that's going to make you, that's dangerous. You know, don't go into a crime-ridden neighborhood at midnight. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about much more psychologically.
Right.
But be willing mm-hmm. to be uncomfortable, because that means you're questioning and changing. And for most people, change is uncomfortable. But change is the ticket to creating more. It always is. So
yeah.
make being uncomfortable your best friend.
Okay.
That just made it really uncomfortable.
I know. The nice thing is that there are times when I'm uncomfortable and I'm even able to recognize it as being uncomfortable and it's okay. Because a lot of
yes.
times in the past, I would have thought being uncomfortable meant I had to fix something.
Nope.
And
just
now
be with it.
I have to.
Yes.
You know, yeah, just be with it. Yeah.
Just be with it.
Oh. Okay. Oh, you're so awesome. Thank you so much. What a blessing you both are. Thank
Wonderful.
You, thank you.
Thank you, Patricia,
thank
for
you.
Calling in.
Bye-bye.
Awesome. What a gift. Cool. Well, Marilyn, why don't you go ahead and just tell us a little bit about how people can find you?
Sure. I've got a website, marilynbradford.com, that lists pretty much everything. And I'm on the Access Consciousness website if you go to find a facilitator. I'm currently doing a book club on my book, Right Recovery for You, which you can buy from the Access Consciousness website or from Amazon. It's also on, not on audio. I need to do that. That's on my list. It's on Kindle. And if you're interested in joining the book club, you can still join. It's really fun. It's 6 weeks. We've had one call. It's free. We had a great discussion. I'm doing a class, upcoming class, called From Isolation to Inspiration, which I think will be really fun. And I'm doing a couple of foundation classes. And I was going to be doing some in-person Right Recovery for You classes, but we're going to have to cancel them at least for the time being. But I'm really looking forward to all out of the stay-at-home thing. And the world is, people are feeling more healthy and safe and all of that. So I would love to hear from you. You can email me at marilynbradford.com. That's MarilynBradford @me.com. Please don't use Facebook or Messenger because I don't check them very often. And then I find that someone's sent me a message 4 weeks ago and they're upset because I haven't responded. So you're much better off sending me an email. But anyway, I know we're getting close.
Cool.
Thank you so much, Venus. Is there anything else I can contribute here?
Yeah, I'd love for you to just to talk a little bit. We have a couple more minutes, so I'd love for you to just talk a little bit more about that question that you asked, and I loved it so much. It's like, what's going to create greater here?
Yeah, because that's about the kingdom of we. Greater isn't always what we think it is. We tend to think that greater is, oh, my life's going to be perfect and the universe is going to be wonderful. But greater can be making somebody else uncomfortable so that they're willing to look at something and maybe change. Greater can be making ourselves uncomfortable. So we're like, oh, not so happy with the way I handled that. Okay, and not judging. You got to get the judgment out of it. But just, well, that did not create what I really desired it for create. Instead of this person having an awareness, they went away angry. Okay, that's okay. What could I be or do? Or you can ask it two ways. What could I have been or done different that would have created something different? Or what can I be and do in the future that will create something different? Because you see, truly being what we call selfish is not selfish at all. It's being in the kingdom of we. It's being in the energy and asking the question, because we're all connected. And creating greater is what's going to actually offer possibilities for myself and everyone else. Whether or not they choose them, that's up to them. You cannot make people choose, but you can offer the possibility. And that, to me anyway, is what creating greater is.
Well, that's beautifully put. Well, folks, from Marilyn Bradford, you can find her on marilynbradford.com or writerecoveryforyou.com. Thank you so much for being here, Marilyn. I really appreciate all of your wisdom.
Well, thank you for having me. This is really a fun show.
Awesome.
And
well, have a wonderful
day. You too.